Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Brett McKay here, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Manliness podcast. The coronavirus pandemic has forced tens of millions of people to stay home due to shelter-in-place orders and even lockdowns. While supplies of food, water, and other essentials have largely continued undisrupted for the most part, if one or more of these services were completely cut off, what would be the best way to prepare for that kind of emergency? To answer this question, I talked to friend of AOM and survival expert Creek Stewart. Creek has dedicated his life to mastering all things survival, spending thousands of hours in the field, authoring numerous articles and books, teaching courses to others, and hosting television shows for the Weather Channel like SOS How to Survive. Today, Creek and I talk about what we can learn from the current pandemic about how to shelter in place or bug in, and how to be prepared if this crisis worsens in severity or we're one day hit with a more dire disaster. We dive into the different bug-in categories you need to consider, beginning with how much food and water you need for a long-term bug-in situation and how to properly store it. Creek then talks about what you need to consider in terms of first aid and home defense in a bug-in scenario, and why you also need to think about how to keep yourself entertained. Lots of practical and timely advice in this episode. After it's over, check out our show notes at aom.is/bug-in. All right, Creek Stewart, welcome back to the show.
Hey, man, it's good to be back. It's great to be here with you.
So it's been a while. The last time we had you on the podcast is back in 2013. But if people have been following the Art of Manliness for a long time, they know you. You're the wilderness survival guy, the prepper guy. You've written some classics for AOM in the past. We got the Zombie Apocalypse Survival Shotgun. We've got your camouflaging articles. Article on how to use a tampon in a survival situation. And I think a lot of people know your work that you've done with the Weather Channel, with fat guys in the woods and things like that. And I wanted to bring you on because right now we're in the middle of a pandemic, and this is the thing that you're helping people get ready for. And you, I love it in your emails, you always end with a motto. It's not if, but when. So I imagine before the pandemic, I think there's plenty of people who thought of, you know, prepper, survival type people was being too paranoid. Do you think people are changing their tune now about this?
You know, this particular disaster, tragedy, pandemic, whatever you want to call it, is super interesting. I've found over the years of studying survival stories and taking people into the woods and just studying these things and being really in this industry, that really the catalyst for a change of mind or a change of behavior or habit, I found that it really comes from one of two things, either extreme suffering or extreme tragedy. And in this particular pandemic, in this particular scenario, there is definitely a tragic side to it. I mean, there are absolutely people whose health are affected and there are people dying, and I don't want to be insensitive toward that at all whatsoever. And I know that in the midst of all of this, people are being laid off work and the economy's changing and losing their jobs. So there is absolutely a tragic side to this. But the interesting part of this pandemic is that in general, most people's needs are being met. You know, they still have food and water and electricity and access to medical care and heat, and their furnace works and their toilets work and their showers work. And so on that side of things, there's not a lot of suffering happening. And so I think while this is really bringing the idea of preparedness to mind in the midst of this and staying home and being quarantined. I think that because there is real no, is not really what you would consider traditional disaster suffering, because that isn't happening in this particular scenario, I would guess that a lot of people will be very quick to forget about the quarantine and the coronavirus a few weeks after this whole thing passes. And so do I think that there'll be a change of tune as far as, I think for some people, but I think for a lot of people, time really will take away the details, and we'll be back to square one when the next one happens. So I hope that's not the case, but my guess is that, you know, this will be a small hiccup for a lot of people, and I don't know that, you know, that it will be the wake up call that I wish it would be.
Yeah, humans, we always forget, and that's why we repeat history oftentimes.
Yeah.
So your focus with your work is a lot about prepping, surviving away from your primary residence, either surviving in the wild or bugging out to another location. Well, that's another article you've written for us, how to build a bug out bag.
Yeah.
But you've also written about what's called bugging in, which is appropriate with this quarantining and social distancing and shelter in place that's been going on. For those who aren't familiar with the idea, what is bugging in?
Well, bugging in is, I guess the best way to describe it is another phrase for the idea of sheltering in place. And sheltering in place, the concept has been around for a really long time. And so with a bugging out, you're leaving your primary place of residence for somewhere that's more safe. It's just not safe to stay at home, and so you have to leave in order to be safe. Well, bugging in is the exact opposite. Either you're staying in to be safe, or you have no option to leave, or you're basically forced at home. And so there are a lot of different things that could cause a bug-in scenario. Historically, they've been chemical-related, biological-related, radiological, even nuclear. All of those are real common. I mean, not common, but those would be kind of the classic reasons to bug-in. Some other ones that have happened in a little bit more recent history have been violence. You know, violence is often a reason for local governments to, to put out an ordinance to stay shelter in place. Like during the Boston Marathon, for example, the local police department encouraged sheltering in place because of the bombings. And in Los Angeles in 2016, there was a sulfuric acid tanker that caught on fire. And so everyone within 15 miles or so of that tanker were required to shelter in place for safety. The most common, I would say, though, is winter storm warnings, winter storms that cause people to have to shelter in place or bug in. You know, but now we're seeing, you know, globally, you know, this pandemic with the COVID-19 epidemic, and so, you know, something certainly that's never happened in my lifetime.
So whenever you're consulting people on how to bug in, like in general, how long do you advise people to prepare to be hunkered down for?
Well, I base that on three tiers, and it's a little bit different for everyone and based upon everyone's time, budget, and how serious they are. 2 weeks is an absolute minimum these days. Used to, it was 3 days. I can remember it was, you know, having 3 days worth of supplies on hand, almost kind of like a bug out bag. But these days, it's absolutely a minimum of 2 weeks to be able to bug in and be completely independent of survival on all of your needs for 2 weeks. Myself, and what I would encourage other people to do is have a three-tiered plan. It starts with 2 weeks, which is pretty easy to accomplish for most people, even on a tight budget. And then a three-month plan, which is a little bit more complicated, but still fairly easy to accomplish for most people. And then stretch it out a little bit further and have a one-year plan, which for most is going to be feel really extreme and may sound a little bit crazy, but for myself, I have a 2-week, a 3-month, and a 1-year plan for complete independent survival for me and my family.
Gotcha. And I mean, I think with this, it's good to have all those different tiers because you never know what the situation is going to be like. Right now during this current pandemic, we had this, you know, immediate burst of people going out and just stockpiling stuff. So there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Or there's still stuff there, but it's not great. So it's in that situation, it'd be nice to have that 2-week buffer then. But you never know if the supply chain, for whatever reason, doesn't kick into action like it should, that 1 month might come in handy then.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, every disaster is totally different. And one minor change in this particular one with the coronavirus, if we just took out, you know, if we took the coronavirus as it is right now, where people are quarantined at home and, you know, everybody's forced to stay at home and just for their own health and safety. But if you just take out one other thing, right now, everything is accessible. Everyone has electric, their furnaces are working, their water's running, they have access to food and medicine, they have internet and cell phone service. But if you remove just one of those services, things become exponentially more complicated. I mean, you take out electric, and we're having a totally different conversation, you know, like, I mean, you take out water and this thing becomes so more dangerous and so more complicated. Just one of those services missing, and this is an entirely different conversation.
So when you're thinking about bugging in, what are the categories for human survival that you should be thinking about when you bug in? And is there anything in particular that you should think about when it comes to pandemics?
Well, that's a really good question. When I think about survival and bugging in, like when I really sat down and started developing my own bug in plan, I thought about my grandpa. I thought about, okay, when my grandpa was my age, what did he need? And that was, you know, back when my grandpa was my age and younger, he needed water. He needed food. He needed a way to cook that food. He needed a way to stay warm in the winter. He needed personal hygiene items to a certain degree and some limited medication type and first aid tools. And then he needed all the like supplies and tools that related to any of those categories. For example, he needed a way to heat his home in the winter. Well, he needed a way to cut firewood and split firewood, and he needed a fireplace. And so when it comes to bugging in, it's oftentimes really overworked and made to be more complicated than it needs to be because we live in a day and age when we forget that it wasn't that long ago that times were a lot simpler, that there was no running water, there was no electric, there were no indoor bathrooms, and there was no, you know, internet and all that stuff. And when you really break it down, it's water, food, a way to cook the food, a way to heat your home if you live in a cold environment, some first aid and personal hygiene items, and then the tools that go with any one of those categories.
Gotcha. So let's dig into some of these categories in more detail.
Yeah.
So you mentioned water, and I think it's interesting for the, I talked to you about this before we started recording, and for the past 3 weeks on Art of Manliness, a couple years ago, I'm going to say 6 years ago, I wrote this article on, you know, how to do long-term water storage. And then for the past 3 weeks, you can just see it in our analytics, like the search traffic to that article has been going up. So it's a concern for people that, you know, somehow the water is going to go away. But as you said, it's interesting, this emergency that we're dealing with, water's still there, but again, it might not be there. And even let's say there's another disaster of some sort where your water shut off. Let's talk about water supply. How much water do you think a person needs in their home to last that 2 weeks, for example?
Well, the general rule of thumb is 1 gallon per day per person. That's for not only drinking, but also personal hygiene and washing and bathing. And so 1 gallon per person per day, indefinitely, you know, for as long as whatever your plan is the amount of water that you'll need. And you're right about water. I mean, water gets knocked offline all the time. I mean, just in my hometown last week, in the midst of this pandemic, there was a boil issue in the hometown that I grew up in. There was a boil warning where, because of some pumps went down or something like that. And, you know, it happens all the time. Not too long ago in Flint, Michigan, there were major water issues where there were boil, where there were boil warnings. And, you know, places like Southern California that don't have their in their own independent water supply, you know, it becomes a very fragile situation. And water is our most basic of human survival needs. I would say outside of an immediate first aid threat, water is at the top.
So, okay, 1 gallon a day. Let's say you want to, you know, store two weeks worth or a month worth. Like, how do you store? What are the best way to store water? Different options for that.
Yeah. So for, I'll just take my three tier, for example. Okay. My 2 week, my 3 month, and my 1 year tiers. And that I think describing how I do it will really help. So my 2 week tier, I have 2 weeks worth of bottled water on hand at all times. And we move through, my family and I, we move through that on a regular basis. So we're always grabbing a water, bottled water. And so we're kind of moving through that 2 week supply of bottled water at any given moment. And beyond 2 weeks, it starts to get, you start to get into a situation where, okay, I need to think about how do I store this water and how can I depend on it for up to a year? Okay. Bottled water will easily last up to a year, except it's just a little bit cumbersome to, you know, to pack months worth of bottled water in your basement. Okay. So some of the best ways to store water for, let's say, up to a 3 month time period are going to be two ways. Number one is those 5 gallon, kind of like the water cooler at an office. Those 5 gallon water containers. Those are a little cumbersome, but having one of those dispensers in your kitchen and having 5 gallon containers of those waters downstairs or in the basement or in the garage, those are a really good way to store a lot of water. 55 gallon drums, food grade drums, is what I use for my 3 month water storage, which can last up to a year. There's a company called Aquamira that makes a really good two-part mixture that you pour into that, that makes it, that helps keep your water good for up to a year. And you can buy 55-gallon drums on Amazon. You can find them on, you know, food grade drums. Probably the easiest place is on Amazon. But you can buy a pump so that you can pump water right out of them. And I change out the water in my 55-gallon drums every year. It's a little bit of a hassle, but I normally take 1 day a year and change out my drums and then refill those back up and put in a two-part water purification mixture in there, and I'm good for another year. Storing water more than 3 months, 1 gallon per person per day, becomes a little much. After that, you really need to start thinking about kind of an independent water supply. And that could either be a rain harvesting system or obviously some type of a well. A really common way to store water that a lot of people use are recycled 2 liter bottles, not milk jugs because they tend to degrade and get a little weird over time, but 2 liter bottles or other plastic bottles like juice bottles. Those are really great ways to store water. And when you fill up a 2 liter bottle or a juice jug or something like that, I always put in, when I used to store my water like that, I would put in 2 drops of bleach, of unscented bleach per liter when I would do the storage. And that'll pretty much keep you up for a year.
All right. So you've got water stored up. Now you need to think about food. What kind of food should you store for your long-term bug-in situation?
I'm going to go back to my three-tier system again, and I think it'll make a lot of sense. So for myself and my family, this is the same model that I would encourage anyone to consider and possibly adapt if so inclined. So for myself and my family, we keep, you know, there's a saying within the survival industry that America is 9 meals away from anarchy. And what that means is that most people have 9 meals worth of food in their home at any given moment. And after that, things start getting a little crazy. And so for myself and my family, we keep 2 weeks worth of food. We're going to go back to that 2 week, 3 month, and 1 year mark. So I keep 2 weeks, 3 months, and 1 year's worth of food in our house for independent survival for me and my family in any given moment. The 2 weeks category includes everything that we eat on a regular basis: fresh vegetables, meats, frozen vegetables, canned goods, pastas, you know, anything that's either in a package or ready to cook, ready to open up, ready to prepare. So we keep anywhere between, 1 and 2 weeks worth of food, 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 2 weeks. Beyond that, from 2 weeks, and we're constantly moving through that food and buying more groceries or canning more or hunting more. And so we're constantly replenishing that 2 week food supply, and we're moving on a regular basis through that. Beyond that, from our 2 week to 3 month window, I have moved to a freeze dried food methodology. I used to use all kinds of kind of hodgepodge, different food storage options, but up until my 3 month mark, beyond 2 weeks, if I couldn't get any more food, couldn't hunt, couldn't fish, couldn't go to the grocery store, couldn't get canned goods, then I would depend on freeze dried food. Now, it's a little bit more expensive, but it's very simple. It lasts for 25 years. You can buy 3 months worth of this food. You can put it down. You can buy it gradually over time. You don't have to buy it all at once. It is a little expensive, but you can put it down in the basement or in a kind of a, you know, just somewhere that doesn't have sunlight and that's fairly cool ideally. And you'll last 25 years with that stuff. And it's literally, it's freeze dried, so you just add water, heat it up if it's a heat up meal, and you're ready to go. And it's really, really easy, and the stuff's pretty good. Now, beyond 3 months, freeze dried food gets really expensive. You can buy 1 year packages of freeze dried food, but they're very in the thousands of dollars. And so beyond that, then we start talking about what my grandpa did. We're back to my grandpa, right? We're back to grains. We're back to maybe producing some of your own foods, hunting, fishing, chickens, backyard chickens, goats, things like that. As far as food storage goes, a lot of grains, you know, barley, corn, flour, rice, a lot of pastas, macaronis, noodles, and spaghettis, and, you know, it's more of an ingredients list of food storage, a lot of beans and legumes and canned foods and spices and mixes and, you know, all of those things that you use to actually build and cook meals. And a lot of that stuff lasts a really long time, like wheat and corn and rice and beans. I mean, if you package those things correctly, those things will easily last you 25 years.
We're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. Texas Pete is the sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. Each Texas Pete sauce is packed with a bold, balanced flavor. The signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. Their hotter hot sauce is 3 times hotter than the original, and it's not for the faint of heart. They also got a flavor called Sabor by Texas Pete, adds authentic Mexican flavor, and they also have a dust dry seasoning that matches the flavor of the original hot sauce in a flavorful dry rub. But the flavor that I've been enjoying lately is the chopped sriracha sauce. It's got chili, garlic, and some tropical tangy notes. It's really good. I love putting on my eggs. Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products, as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And you can use promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com. That's PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com. Check out the Sriracha Cha Sauce. It's wedding season, and while weddings are all about the bride and groom, they're also a chance for you to look your best. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million, even though suits start at just $499. It's easier than ever to be the best dressed with Indochino. Order your custom suits now, and they'll be ready for wedding season. The process of customizing a suit on Indochino, very easy to do. It's also a lot of fun. I've talked about my navy blue suit I've gotten from Indochino. First off, you can decide how the jacket is, how you want the pockets on the jacket to be, how you want the lapels, the vent on the back, the lining on the pants. You can decide you want pleats or no pleats. I went no pleats on my pants on this one. And then you do the measuring process. You'll need someone to help you, but they have this very easy to follow guide. Send that all in a few weeks, you have a custom made-to-measure suit sent directly to your door, and you're going to pay about the same price for a suit that you'd pay for an off-the-rack suit at a department store. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code MANLINESS to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code MANLINESS. Check it out today. If you're like me, you've probably signed up for subscription services, but then you forgot about them. I'm talking about newsletters, streaming services, things like that. Well, with the personal finance app Rocket Money, it can help you find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. It can also monitor your spending and help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I had a chance to use Rocket Money, connected it to my checking account, and it found a bunch of subscription services that I forgot about. I was able to cancel them, and I was able to save a lot of money because the stuff adds up. Besides canceling your unwanted subscriptions, Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you, up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/manliness. That's rocketmoney.com/manliness, rocketmoney.com/manliness. All right, picture that thing you've always wanted to learn. Now picture learning it from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That's what you get with Masterclass. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors, and a lot of them are former AOM podcast guests. So for example, you can learn the art of negotiation from Chris Voss, we had him on the podcast, leadership from Jocko Willink, another AOM podcast guest, writing from Malcolm Gladwell, another AOM podcast guest. You name it, Masterclass has it. With Masterclass, you get unlimited access to intimate one-on-one classes with the world's best. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. So I did the masterclass with Chris Voss on negotiation. Very well done. He talks about tactical empathy, how to mirror somebody so that you can develop rapport with them. So if you enjoyed that podcast I did with Chris Voss several years ago about his book, Never Split the Difference, you're going to love this masterclass. And right now, AOM listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/AOM. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/AOM. Masterclass.com/AOM. Check out the negotiation class with Chris Voss. And now back to the show.
And so with this ingredient stuff, that not only do you have to store the stuff, but you also have to learn how to cook it in a way that's palatable.
And that's actually the really hard part. The storing the stuff is really simple. You know, I buy my bulk goods in 50 pound bags, but then I repackage that into plastic food grade 5 gallon buckets. So it's really easy to storage, and you don't have to worry about mice or anything like that. But the catch here is all of a sudden you got to know how to cook like your grandma. You know, you got to know how to make the biscuits and mix the wheat and make all the things. And so for a lot of people, including myself, that's a real challenge. And so that's a part of, you know, that's something that I've been working on personally over the years is, you know, once a week or so, really, you know, getting my hands messy in the kitchen a little bit and really understanding how to cook, you know, especially my generation or me, I'll just take blame for it. You know, I'm not a cook and I don't spend a lot of time cooking, but if you go this route with long-term food storage, you have to cook because you can't just eat the beans, you know?
You mentioned freeze-dried food. What about MREs? What's your take on those?
MREs could easily be in that category. MREs could be in either your 3 week, your 2 month, your 2 week, your 3 month, or your 1 year category. They're calorie dense. They'll last 25 years, a lot of them, and they're open and eat. You know, really great long-term meals. The only problem is like freeze-dried food, they're expensive. You know, those run anywhere. I mean, last time I checked, you know, roughly $8 a pop.
Right. So you're paying for convenience basically with that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But it's a fantastic option, you know.
So you mentioned, you know, for water, like ideally you have a gallon a day. Is there some sort of recommendation for how much food you need per person?
You know, that's a tough one. I've broken mine down based upon testing with meals. I've got it into, I could give you my kind of, all right, let me see here. I have written down my, what I have per person in my household, and it'll give you at least a rough idea, but I've got these, the way I've written these down are 1 year numbers. And so this sounds a little crazy. Like, for example, grains, which would include rice, wheat, any seeds for sprouting, oats and corn and barley and things like that. You know, I keep 600 pounds per person per year on hand. I mean, and that's just the grains. And then there's all kinds of other categories. I keep 75 pounds of dried milk on hand per person, and about 35 pounds of oil and fats like peanut butter and powdered margarine and cooking oil for cooking. And, you know, the numbers for 1 year sound a little crazy, but the way I would kind of back that down is you have to, in order to plan for long-term food storage, you have to understand how to cook it. And the only way to understand how to cook it is to actually get in the kitchen and start playing around with these ingredients. And it's only until you do that that you're gonna be able to multiply out how much of these items you're gonna need. There are a lot of rough estimates online, like the LDS Church. They have some fantastic information about long-term food storage that I would recommend anyone read through as a part of just the culture of that church. For as long as they've been into existence, they have been in the business of long-term food storage. In fact, their warehouse, they have something called the storehouse. That's a fantastic place to get long-term food storage grains. I buy a lot of mine at bulk markets like Gordon Food Services and even online on Amazon, but that LDS Church, their storehouse, if there's one in your area, there are some fantastic buys on long-term food storage, like big bags of grain and rice and stuff like that.
And the other thing you got to think about too, with food storage at least, is, or even with water storage, you got to know where you're going to keep it. If you have a house with a big garage or basement, not a problem. But if you're in an apartment, then you have to get creative, or maybe you won't be able to carry as much. Underneath your bed, that's a place where a lot of people I know put their food storage. They actually turn their food storage into like the box springs of their bed.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. You'd be surprised that, you know, a slew of 5 gallon buckets could make, you know, you could easily turn that into a coffee table or a bed frame, but there's all kinds of creative ways. But you're right. Especially water. And when you start storing up 3 months worth of water and food, it's absolutely going to take up some space. You know, it could seem, for someone who's just starting to think about, maybe this Corona thing has got someone thinking like, listen, this just scared the holy bejesus out of me, and I want to start keeping some food storage on hand for my family. I mean, don't start it 1 year. You'll never get done. You know, that will become so overwhelming that you'll just quit. I always say, for the person who's just starting out, I always say start with a bug out bag. That gets you 3 days worth of independent survival, and there's always a place for a bug out bag. And then, I mean, there's a fantastic article on your site about building a bug out bag, but there, you know, and then work your way up from that 3 days, you know, you've got that, throw that in your closet, and now think about my 2 weeks. And you'd be surprised at how easy it is to get 2 weeks. And then once you've got 2 weeks, then you take it a step farther and you think about, okay, what is some food and how do I store a little bit more water? And then let's get me to that 1 month mark. Okay. But once you get past 2 weeks, you want to start thinking about food that's going to sit on the shelf for a year. Okay. So that's either freeze dried, that's MREs, or that's dried goods, like I was just talking about, wheat and rice and beans, and then the ingredients to make meals with those things. So anything beyond 2 weeks, you want to have a long-term shelf life, because you don't want to be dealing with that stuff. Ideally, you want a shelf life that's 25 years. And it is totally possible with those three categories of foods to sit them on the shelf for 25 years. Freeze-dried foods, MREs, like you mentioned, and dried goods. Those will all last 25 years if stored properly. And it's really easy to get 1 month's worth of food and water in storage over the course of just a few weeks. It's incredibly easy to do on a very tight budget. This stuff is not, now the freeze-dried is a little bit expensive, but when you get into dried goods, it is not expensive at all to get an incredible amount of food storage under your belt in dried goods.
Awesome. So this is all really practical, actionable advice that you just gave. So let's talk about another item of category of human survival you got to think about when you're bugging in, and that is first aid. So what sort of first aid items should people stock up on for a bug-in scenario?
If there was one category that I'm weak in, it's probably first aid. That's probably my weakest category of all. And so I always, in my first aid preps, I always multiply out what I need. I know what I need for first aid in the outdoors because I know what those most common injuries are from experience. And so when I think about first aid, I think about it a little bit differently than most. You know, most people would say, I need a little first aid kit and I need to beef up on Band-Aids and Neosporin and things like that. Well, I'm of the mindset that, you know, that stuff is fine for first aid, but what you really need for first aid are the things to deal with real first aid emergencies. And those are not things that can be fixed with a Band-Aid and Neosporin and a little butterfly patch and a patch of gauze. And so when I think about first aid, I think about what are the big things that can happen that can really, you know, that can really knock someone out. And those things are major bleeding. And so we need things to control major bleeding if someone gets cut or falls on something or something weird happens. And the four things that I would recommend to start off your bleeding control kit, if we're going to call it that, is a tourniquet. And I use a CAT tourniquet, a combat application tourniquet. I use a product. I pack a product in all of my first aid kits and my bug-in kit called Celox Z-Fold Gauze, which is it's a wound packing. It helps your blood clot, and it's kind of an anti, kind of a clotting agent mixed in with that gauze, so you can pack it and it'll just seal up a wound pretty good. An Israeli compression bandage goes a long way, a handful of those, and then some ACE wrap so that you can really wrap that stuff up tight. And ACE wrap can be used for all kinds of things. But you definitely need a system in place for bleeding control because a Band-Aid and a little bit of gauze just ain't going to cut it.
And I know on the bleeding control, I know ITS Tactical, they sell some kits where like everything you need for that as well. Just
fantastic.
It's like a pouch. It's got tourniquet and everything and the gauze. So yeah, that's another place. If you just want everything all in one place, ITS Tactical has that stuff.
Yeah, and they'll probably have everything that I've just mentioned in that kit and some other items as well. You know, a company like ITS, they're gonna put together a fantastic bleeding control kit, I'm sure.
So what else besides bleeding control?
Okay, so then we're moving to sprains and broken or fractured bones. That's something that can really knock someone out. And so everyone should have a SAM splint or four in their kit. A SAM splint can literally be used to stabilize, I think, every single bone in the human body. You can cut it and you can splint a finger with it. You can use it to splint your leg and your arm, and you could stabilize your head and your neck. You can do all kinds of things with a SAM splint. And so a couple of those on hand and some ACE wrap bandage, and you should be pretty good to go, and some medical tape. You should be pretty good to go to help stabilize any sprains and broken bones, to at least temporarily, because that's a category that absolutely happens. And so another one is burns. A lot of people don't think about burns, but man, when you get a burn, things can go downhill really quick if you don't take care of it. And one of the products I like best for burns is a product called Water Gel. Water J-E-L. And they come in individual packets, and it's just an outstanding burn dressing. And it's one that a lot of outdoor enthusiasts use, and it could just as easily be used inside.
So another thing that people need to think about too, what I think the coronavirus pandemic has brought to light with supply chain, is if you have any underlying health issues, like perhaps store up on medication as much as you can for, you know, medicines that you're taking right now, because that might not, you might not have it when you need it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if something happened, which absolutely could, that interrupted the supply chain for medicine or prevented people from being able to go to the pharmacy or something like that, I mean, we're talking worst case scenario. And so I think most doctors these days totally understand a very simple conversation like this. Hey, doc, I'm putting together an emergency kit in my house. I want to be ready just in case that I can't get my meds for up to 3 months. Can you help me get a back supply of medicine that I could keep on hand for a 3 month supply? And if your doctor, you know, isn't willing to work with you to get that done, especially in this day and age, then I would say go find a different doctor. Because people who are medically dependent on medicine, you absolutely need to have a backup supply of that stuff on hand. And I think now with coronavirus, having that conversation with your physician makes a lot more sense. You could say, listen, I mean, I just went through the scare of my life and I was scared to death that I wasn't going to be able to get my medicine. And I know now that I need a backup supply on hand. Can you help me? Can we put together a plan where I can at least put some back just in case?
And besides stocking up on medicines and supplies for first aid, another part of this is getting the skills, training, because if you have all the stuff but don't know how to use it, then it's pretty much worthless.
Absolutely. I mean, being able to, you know, even put on a tourniquet, you know, understanding, I mean, you can have all the tourniquets in the world, but if you don't know how to use it properly, it's never going to work. It'd probably be more dangerous than, you know, not using one at all. But all of this stuff absolutely requires at least a little bit of training. The good news is that it's not something that is that you need to spend full time. I mean, this can become a really fun hobby, you know, getting your preps ready for your family. You know, there's nothing more important that you can do for your family. You know, a lot of people go to work every day to put food on the table for their family. It's the same thing. You know, you're just prepping for your family or for yourself in a different way. You know, it's a different kind of life insurance policy. And you know, these are fantastic things to do as a family, to, you know, to train as a family on the evenings and weekends. And it can be a lot of fun too.
Well, and if you're shelter in place, you can't go anywhere. So this is something to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's an entirely category that a lot of people overlook is, you know, just remaining sane during a bug-in scenario, because there's a lot of funny stuff going around like right now just online about people spending just an inordinate amount of time with their families all day long with their kids and, you know, going crazy. But, you know, there's something to be said for that, you know, keeping, you know, thinking about what if I literally couldn't leave the house. I mean, right now people can go out into their yards and go outside and take a walk and go to the grocery stores. But what if you were really cooped up in your house? There are actually situations that could call for that, you know, that aren't off the table in our future. What if you couldn't leave your house? You know, can you keep yourselves entertained for a couple of weeks or for a week? And those things should be included in your list too. You know, whether it's board games or card games or, you know, backup power supplies to keep your tablets running, whatever that is for you and your family, it should absolutely be considered.
Uno could cause some fights though.
Uno, man, the best game of all time. I played Uno last week with my family.
That's great. We've been playing a lot of Apples to Apples. And then I just bought, like before this whole thing went down, I bought Exploding Kittens, which I heard a lot about. We haven't played it yet. It's a card game. Okay. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, that's another part is the psychological component that people often overlooked when it comes to survival stuff. That's an important part of prepping and knowing how you're going to be mentally resilient during this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we live in a really unique day and age where you can hop on FaceTime. You know, we were on, you know, FaceTime last night with my parents. You know, what if that stuff wasn't available? You couldn't talk to anybody. You couldn't have FaceTime with anybody. You couldn't get on the phone. I mean, it's all totally possible. It goes back to the beginning of this conversation that we're having, where if one of these other services that we really depend on gets knocked off grid, I mean, we're having an entirely different conversation here. You know, I mean, in general, on the scale of what could happen, you know, this whole coronavirus pandemic You know, there are some really incredible lessons to be learned with this, as far as, you know, how can I be better prepared for something where one of these critical services is knocked offline? And I think this is a really great time to pull out a journal and start writing some of this stuff down and, you know, thinking about what are the lessons that I'm learning right here and over the course of the next couple of weeks that I need to fix and put into place for the next event that not might happen, but absolutely will. We will have other events like this and worse.
So, you know, another part in the article that you wrote about bugging in for us is self-defense. Right now with the COVID-19 pandemic, first responders are still there, police are there, but there might be a situation where their hands are going to be tied up. There's not going to be police officers there to respond to you if you need help. So what should people think about when it comes to self-defense in a bug-in situation?
Yeah, that's like a really great question. You know, I have a lot of friends and family members who are first responders, whether it's police or paramedics or firefighters, and they'll be the first to tell you that all of their services are all planned and organized for a normal day. And when things get not normal, then they become understaffed and overwhelmed. And it's just a part of, you know, every single disaster or pandemic, whatever you want to call it, that happens. You know, it is an issue. First responders are a little less responsive during times of chaos. And so one should always be prepared in a worst case scenario to fortify and defend their home. Whether that's just, you know, simple barricading measures. You know, one of the best door barricades that I've ever seen is there are these little brackets that you can screw on the inside of your door up against your door jamb, and you can just drop a 2x4 into those brackets behind your door. And I tell you what, with one of those in place, no one's getting in your home. You know, unless they're coming through a window. I mean, and if they're getting into your home, they're making a huge racket doing it. And it's a really simple way. I mean, it's such a simple, it's like $2 brackets and a 4-foot section of 2x4. And it makes one of the most effective door barricades in the world. I hate even talking about stuff like this because it seems, you know, it seems so ridiculous. But at the same time, I mean, you know, it's all stuff that's totally possible. And then, you know, as far as home defense goes, you know, the obvious home defense tool is going to be firearms. And before that, firearms training. And so, you know, I'm a huge proponent of firearms that are used responsibly and firearms training. I'd say that, you know, if you're not willing to invest time in firearms training, then I wouldn't even bother investing in a firearm. But, you know, in a worst case scenario, you're not going to find a better way to defend your home and your family than a firearm.
As Woodrow Call said in Lonesome Dove, better to have it than not need it, than need it than not have it.
Boy, that's the story of my life right there. You know, if I didn't choose the motto, it's not if but when, I probably should have chosen that one.
Well, okay, let's this. We've talked about a lot of great stuff: water storage, food storage, first aid, getting the training you need, also considering your psychological welfare and well-being during a bug-in situation. What do you think people can start doing now in the current shelter-in-place and social distancing orders that we have right now to brace themselves for this current thing we're dealing with, but also get them ready for the next one?
Well, I think the most important thing to do right now is to sit down and start taking some notes about what you're observing about what's happening right now, because it's going to be really easy. This whole corona thing is going to end in a few weeks, and we're going to all try our quickest and best to get back to normal as quickly as humanly possible, every single one of us. And when we get back to normal, or whatever our new normal will be, this whole thing is going to be really easy to forget, and we're going to intentionally try to forget it. And because of that, I would highly encourage everyone, like I emailed my own email list last week saying, listen, right now is the time to take some notes and to really think about the lessons that we're learning in the midst of this whole thing. What are my weaknesses? You know, what are the things I'm lacking on in food? What am I struggling with right now being stuck inside? And what do I need to fix? You know, really taking notes and starting a journal and putting some things on paper that you can take action on when this whole thing blows over. Because it's really, I mean, it's only a matter of time before something on this scale or worse, and there are many, many things that could be worse than this, is going to happen. And the time, you know, the time to take care of that stuff, this is one of the biggest wake-up calls I've ever seen when it comes to disaster preparedness. I've never seen something like this as far as a wake-up call goes. In general, people, all of their needs are being met, and it's a perfect opportunity to sit back and reflect on how well am I prepared if something worse happens. And so as far as action steps go, I would say the best thing to do right now is write down notes on things that you're experiencing right now so that you can fix those moving forward.
Awesome. Well, Creek, where can people go to learn more about your work?
To learn more about me, the best place to go is my website. It's at creekstewart.com. And if you're just getting starting with disaster preparedness and survival and you want a really great little step into that world, I'm running a free course right now that you can sign up for on my website. It's a Build the Bug Out Bag Challenge, and it's a free 5-day course where I walk you through 5 days of free training to build your bug out bag. And it's entirely free. It'd be a perfect project to take on while you're at home. And it's not about spending money. It's about gathering things around your house and putting them into a bag. So if you don't have a bug out bag, this would be a fantastic first step. And it's very manageable.
Well, Creek, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thanks for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, man. It's always an honor and a pleasure for me, Brett. I appreciate you.
My guest today was Creek Stewart. He's a survival expert. The guy's written lots of books. You can find them all on Amazon, and you can check out more about his work at his website, creekstewart.com. Also, check out our show notes at aom.is/bugin, where you can find links to resources where you can delve deeper into this topic. Well, that wraps up another edition of the AOM Podcast. Check out our website at artofmanliness.com, where you find our podcast archives, as well as thousands of articles we've written over the years. We've got a lot of articles about emergency prep over there, so check that out. If you'd like to enjoy ad-free episodes of the AOM Podcast, you could do so on Stitcher Premium. Head over to stitcherpremium.com, sign up, use code manliness at checkout to get a free month trial. Once you're signed up, download the Stitcher app on Android or iOS, and you can start enjoying ad-free episodes of the AOM Podcast. And if you haven't done so already, I'd appreciate it if you take 1 minute to give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. It helps out a lot. And if you done that already, thank you. Please consider sharing the show with a friend or family member who you think we get something out of it. Shoot them a text. Really appreciate that. As always, thank you for the continued support. Until next time, this is Brett McKay, reminding you not only listen to the AOM Podcast, but put what you've heard into action.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.